Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is message 349, tape 349 or CD 349 if you'd like a copy of it. At the end of the program, Sharon will tell you how to receive either a CD or an audio tape. We specify which one, and also remember that it's program number 349. It's all paid for. The reason for it is because I never paid anything for salvation. If you don't have any money, that's perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. We'll give it to you. It's the Word of God, and it's free. So we have some songs today and some Bible reading, very important Bible reading today. And right now, let's go to the throne. I've got some explanation also of a very important chapter in the Bible. It's the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise Your wonderful holy name for Your guidance. We thank You for being part of You. We thank You, Lord, for being for Your being in the midst of us and for us to be used by You in these last days to bring about the consummation of the church. Lord, we communicate to You because we know that this is very much the part of the gospel, is communication to You, to one another, and to You. Lord, we ask that You open the hearts, souls, and minds of the people in the world, that their souls might be saved, and for the church as well, that they might be strengthened, and that this message is distributed throughout the entire world very quickly, because the revelation that You gave me on this shows me that it's the end of time for sure. But I ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, the message today has to do with the consummation of the process, triune God, the Spirit and the Bride being one, the Holy Spirit and the Bride being one. This is what it's all about in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. It shows this wheel within a wheel, which is the Lord in the middle of us, and we on the outward part. Like the Lord is in the midst of the wheel, He's the wheel within us. We are as if we're a church. Now, the Lord doesn't want just one person to live in. He wants a building. The building must be a building of all the Christians in one body. And this is the wheel inside the wheel. The Lord is the wheel inside the wheel, and we are the outer part of the wheel. And there's so much to this particular message that I don't think that I'll be able to explain it all in one message. But trust me, trust the Lord on this one. I have the answer on this, for sure. All right, and this is a very complicated chapter, and the things that the Lord had done to me made me know, as far as I know, the fullness on this particular chapter. So, being is that we're all supposed to be working together for a building for God to live in. He doesn't want to live in one person that is puffed up and saying that they are the righteousness of God. The Lord is our righteousness. Okay, you and I are nothing unless we're stones, beautiful, lively stones that form a building. And the Lord doesn't want one person to live in. He wants to live in a whole building, a temple, a home. He wants a home of all the Christians put together. And there are many phases of this, because when Sue and I saw we prayed that, especially Sue, that if there are such things as flying saucers, that the Lord would show them to us. Hal, on our way to Las Vegas to get married, it was late at night. There was no lights on the freeway or any this road that we were taking out there. And here they came, and it was one after the other. It was like a squadron of them, and it was, I asked Sue, I mean, what are they? How come God has got these things going around? Well, I'll explain that right after I sing here that we're working on the building for God to live in. Amen?
Amen.
You're never supposed to get tired, because these flying saucers show that they just go straight, they go fast, they're like lightning, and they're like fire, like the inside of them, they're lit perfectly all the way around. It's that the bride and the groom, the spirit and the bride are one, and they're evenly lit up throughout the entire flying saucer. And I'll explain how these false flying saucers, so they're actually visions from Satan. I mean, they're really flying saucers, you can believe. I believe that. Okay, here I am singing, working on the building.
Well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstain. Banner for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on the building. Well, I'm holding up the heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. My reward. Well, I'm working on the building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstain, battle for my love. Will I ever get tired of working on a building? Well, I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward, my reward. Well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstain, battle for my love. Well, I never get tired of working on a building. Well, I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. Well, I'm working on the building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstain, battle for my love. Well, I never get tired of working on a building. Well, I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. My reward. Well, I'm working on the building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstain, battle for my love. Well, I never get tired of working on a building. Well, I'm holding up heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward, my reward.
Okay, pray for me. I still got the remnants of this cold. The Lord gave me, and I always wondered for all these years, it's 42 years now, and a little bit more, what it meant of these flying saucers, and why is the Lord passing something on to us? He's trying to tell us something with these flying saucers. It's mentioned in the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, the wheel within the wheel. Susie told me that we were that these beings that we saw were messengers from heaven surveying the earth, and this is true, but it's more than that. These are all symbolic of Jesus and the church. Okay, the messengers regarding the flying saucers. They all come from the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel. So if we take everything to the Lord, and if we spend some time to meditate on this or consider these things that we see in the Word of God and the revelations that the Lord has shown us in visions, we have to meditate on these things, because the Lord shows us the fullness of what these things are, the revelations of them. And then we'll be able to understand perfectly about the level of the position of the church so far as God's business is concerned. Now, the Lord is the center of the church. He's the head, the center. And we are the building that he lives in. And so he's showing us visions or symbols, just as he showed John the Revelator, things symbolically that had to do with Christ and his body, or Christ and his church, or Christ and his bride. When I explain these things to you, you will be able to see clearly what the Lord is looking for and what he is working for, and why he is working for us, and what he is doing working for us is actually in the church. Okay, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the church. Throughout all the different generations of time, the Lord has been doing his best to tell us these things. And throughout every period of time, Satan, who is the arch enemy of the church, every Christian soul has been doing everything that he can to spoil, frustrate, damage, and or destroy the people in the church, the lively, beautiful stones, so that there will not be a building for the Lord to live in. So if we look at what's happening, the situation of Christianity today, there are thousands, even millions of Christians, but show me a group of believers that are practicing the church life in the proper way. I mean, you'll see bunches of them sitting, clapping their hands. That has nothing to do with serving the Lord or the church serving the Lord in the proper way. You can go up to all the major cities everywhere in the world. Millions and millions of people, and you can even go to small or medium-sized cities or to small cities, but where are you going to be able to find the right church that is living the church life? I've never seen anything like that before in my life. Throughout all the generations, this has been the big, huge problem for people, and it still is the big, big problem. Today, the church, what people think is the church, is millions of people going to conferences, all these things. This is not the church life. It's a problem because the church is what God is looking for and working for. God is working, and he wants us to work together. This is what it means. Christ went through the process of human life, and we have to go through the process of godly life. He lived a godly human life, and we have to do the same thing. But the Lord lived the church life also. He was showing the brethren how to live the church life. He told them to wash their feet. He told them so many things. God is working for a church. That's what he's working for. It's not a reason. It's not working for you as a person to walk around looking like you're godly or that you're spiritually intelligent. Because what would be the purpose of that? To exalt just one person. And the Lord was doing the same thing with the children of Israel. He wanted them to operate as a body, the Lord's body. It wasn't just Moses. Moses was to lead, but he was more humble than anybody else in the entire world. He wasn't walking around like he was the most holy man on earth. He didn't even want the position that the Lord had given him because he felt he was unable to do what the Lord was calling him to do because he didn't know the fullness of it. So God is looking for and working for a church to live in. God's working for this church, the church. And it is also what the enemy hates and wants to destroy. He wants to at least damage it. And you can see people that are devils that constantly are saying things about the churches today and the leaders of the churches to damage the church and to frustrate the church or to spoil the church. But the people that know, that are living the church life, they know what this is and that it's the devil. That he likes to, or he tries to cover up the testimony of the church. Remember the Lord said, we have a candle, the light of the Lord. Then we don't cover that with a basket, but what the devil tries to do is cover the light that we have, even to bury the light that we carry. And he wants to do not just it of one person, but he wants to bury the entire body, the entire church, the body of Christ. Now you see all these devils attacking me quite a bit, because they feel that if I'm gone, they don't recognize that the people of my church have become a church yet. They're not living, the devil thinks, a church life. But they're a working. If they're working together, because they've seen so many people in the church fall away. That's why most people are not living a church life. Then they see people today betraying myself. Many of them were in the church, and then they fell away. And then when they saw the opportunity, they chimed in with the government, the Antichrist government, and the media, and also the Rome, to bear false witness. They betrayed me, the Jesus that's in me, the Lord that's in me, so that they could help spoil my testimony. And like for instance, they've got a picture of me being arrested in Tampa, Florida, and that arrest was, they're trying to make it look now that I'm some kind of a pervert. But I was arrested then on a false charge. They said I wanted to kidnap Judge Morris Arnold. He's a federal judge. And that I wanted to punish him for taking away all of our property and selling it for pennies on the dollar. Well, that wasn't my plan at all, but they made that up. A couple of thieves that left our church and made that up. So they took a picture of that when I was being arrested. I was going to give myself up anyway because I was trying to get me a good attorney, and as soon as I did, I would, they don't want to give you any time. You see all kinds of people being arrested on false charges, and they don't have the money for an attorney, and they don't have the right attorney. A lot of attorneys just want to take your money and sell you down the tubes. But at any rate, when I found the right attorney, it's as much as surrendered. And here's a picture of me in this tie-dye church, and they're trying to make it look like I've been arrested and convicted of being a pervert. And that isn't it at all. It was that I was arrested for this false charge of wanting to kidnap a federal judge. Well, they had done a real hatchet job on me, a smear campaign on me in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and on top of all this, I won the case. Okay, so they're still putting that out like I'm some kind of a criminal and that I was convicted of some kind of sex crime, and this I've never had anybody ever accuse that of me. And there's a bunch of people that are like racists in Falk, Arkansas, that have got this campaign to just get this pervert out of town, let's get this child molester out of town. No, I've never been arrested or convicted of anything such thing as that. It was for me, this other false charge of me being arrested for wanting to kidnap Judge Morris Arnold. He didn't check the records. And check the records very well, because I won that case. All right?
Amen.
Nobody believed that I wanted to kill him or kidnap him or anything like that. So it just goes to show you how Satan can twist and turn things. And, I mean, the people in Falk are just passing out these leaflets with my picture, with my hands behind me handcuffed when they picked me up. And later, a couple of months later, I won the case. So this goes to show how the devil perverts everything. He's the pervert. And the government, is the pervert, because what they do is encourage children in school to have sexual relationships and homosexuality. The media keeps pushing that into their brains. And because of the fact of it, say, even a few perverts, like the ones in Falk, what they do is they are continuously attempting to build themselves up and to make people to be perverts like themselves. Because I haven't done what they've said, just what a few people say, and then they build on it. They want it to be so. The only time that I went to prison for is when a bunch of them lied about me, and I went to prison on an IRS, IRS charge. The government hid the books on me and everything else. And even judges today say, and officials in the government say that I was railroaded for sure. They know I wasn't guilty of that, and they say I was squeaky clean. They couldn't find anything on me, so what they did is just made it all up. And it's so hard to sue people because, you know, you're in the business of getting the gospel out. And here it is, you just don't have time to go after them. And even if you did, they don't have any money. It's a whole town of losers. Amen?
Amen.
A city, a town of losers. And what a time. They claim to be Christians, and they're liars. I mean, you know, I just search the dockets, the legal system, and find out if I've ever been arrested or convicted for sex offenses. That's never happened.
Amen.
Okay, check the judicial system all over the world, and you'll see that I've never been charged with such a thing all my life, even my unsaved life. Okay? All right, but anyway, getting back to the gospel, that's what they want you to do, is defend yourself. When I'm in here to preach the gospel, to work it on the building, to get a building for the Lord God to live in, the Lord Jesus. So that's what they're trying to do, is to destroy or cover up the light of the one that God has called to build the church, the churches all over the world, and to teach the people of the world, the people of the Lord, to believe that in these last days the Lord is going to receive the church, the one that he cultivated, and the one that the real Christians worked for with the Lord to bring about, his body, his building, his church. And to cause the church to begin living the church life. Now, it's for sure these people are not living Christian lives, and they're not living the church life. What they're doing is living the satanic life, because the church life is you're all together doing everything that you can to win souls to be part of a building that the Lord is living in. But what they're doing is trying to tear down the church and tear down the building that the Lord is living in. And so if you want to believe them, that's to your own damage. That's your own hurt. And they get on the internet, and it's so easy to get on the internet and smear people. And they just say all kinds of crazy things. they're perverts, they're homosexuals, they're devils. It's like one person explained that what they're like is like a barrel of snakes slithering around and just with venom coming out of their mouths. Because nothing really significant is going to happen in the world so far as the church is concerned until everyone starts living the church life that call themselves Christians. Everybody is on their own crusade. They say they're another David, another Moses, another this or this person or that person, but that isn't the way it is. The church is the bride, and the church is the bride of the bridegroom. And one person is not the church. Okay, you are misled, and there's no possible way that you're going to live the church life if you're thinking those sort of thoughts. Without the bride, there would be no possible way or no purpose for the bridegroom to come back to this world for his bride. You can't be outside of the body and be part of the bride. You have to be work yourself together into one body. Christ will be able to come back because the church has prepared itself. Now, to prepare yourself as the bride, you have to live the church life, the body life. You can't be separated in your thoughts. You have to be part of the church. But the church has to get ready. It has to be ready, and it has to move very fast, rapidly, like lightning, like the Spirit. The bridegroom cannot come back, in other words, Jesus, the bridegroom, cannot come back for his bride if his bride is not ready. In the book of Revelation, you can read that when the bride is ready, or when the bride has prepared herself, the bridegroom will come back. Revelation 19:7. Okay? Now this is why we have the assurance that these things, in these last days, that the Lord is going to get the church ready. And he's doing it with signs and wonders, visions and dreams, and especially his word. He's going to bring about the awareness of to the people that are born again of the Spirit, that are saved, to begin living the church life, because they're not doing it now. To prepare his bride, we, the ones that are working on the building for God to live in, are the ones that are living, that we are preparing his bride. Okay? And the Lord told me to get the message out to all the churches in the world. And like each one of these individual flying saucers, as Sue and I saw, they were coming purposely straight at us just as fast as lightning and just like fire coming out of the sky. They were lit up, and they had a purpose. They came so close to the car, to the windshield, that I got on the floorboard, and I could not understand why Sue just kept driving the car very slowly. I said, "Sue, stop the car, because we're headed that way and they're coming towards us, and these flying saucers are going to smash into our windows." Well, of course, at that time I didn't realize how precise the church must be. It is a precision church. It isn't like, you know, a bunch of good old boys going down to you know, the feed store and getting dunking their hands into the pickle barrel and a cracker barrel over there, and they're sitting down and shooting the breeze or talking about Jesus a little bit, and the rest of the time just scratching themselves and just talking, you know, because that isn't the way it is. That isn't the way it is. Or it isn't a bunch of little girls getting together and chattering and trying to act nice and yet talking of mischievous things and thinking of evil things and with the boys also. The church, the real church of God, is not a bunch of little girls talking about boys or who's going to get married and all this sort of stuff. It's the living church. And it's the living of the church life to prepare the Lord's bride so that he can come back to this earth and get it, to take it away. Now, it's the Lord's life that is meant for the church. So if you're really a Christian, then you're going to want, you're living the church, the Lord's life. But still, that isn't enough. We have to live the church life because we are not the Lord. The Lord is in the midst of us like the wheel inside the wheel. He is inside us, and we are the actual, he's like the hub, and we are like the wheel. He's the hub or the round piece, the wheel within the wheel. You understand?
Yeah.
So the Lord wants us to practice being the church, not just an individual, because he doesn't want to be piecemeal, you know, living a little bit of you and a little bit of this person and that person. All of the stones placed together are the New Jerusalem, the actual bride. If you want to be the bride of Christ, you're going to have to live the church life. You may ask, what is the proper way for us to practice the church life? These are the problems. The biggest burden today is for the church to begin realizing the urgent need for to help all the people in the world that are Christians, real Christians, to see the life and the way for the church to practice Christianity properly. So everyone knows, they would say that the life for us to live and practice is the church life, is Christ himself. That's what most people would say. But they don't realize what that means. Many realize that we need Christ as our life, but not very many realize that Christ as our life is for us to practice the church life. That's what it's all about. There are all kinds of teachings in the world today about life. They say Christ's life. We must live the Christian life, the Christ life. And some of them saying that we need to live the victorious life. And some of them say we need to live the sacrificed life, exchanged life, the crucified life, the spiritual life, divine life, the eternal life, and the life of Christ, the life of God. But it's very hard to find anyone or any kind of document telling us about this overcoming life, which is the church life, that this spiritual life, the life of Christ, is for the entire church, is for us to practice together. It can't be just one person. This life is not just for victory or for sanctification. This life is not just for one person alone or a whole church or building to become spiritual, divine in the body. This life is for a definite purpose. This God life that the Lord gave us is an eternal life, His eternal life. And it's for His purpose, not for what we think the purpose is, that we got a church, you know, to just live the divine life, but we have to have the life of Christ emanating all the way through it. And it's a life where it's all spiritual. And the Spirit moves quickly, and the church must live the church life. They must move quickly, as the church is described in the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel. This life is for a definite purpose. That is, for the building up of the church as the body of Christ. Simply speaking, this life is for the church and for the Lord. Because we together must speak together, we must move together, we must be fast, as the Spirit is fast. I know that when the Lord deals with me and He wants me to know something, He comes to me quick as lightning and tells me the different things that He wants me to know and to pass on to others. And it's fast, and it's like fire. For what purpose do you want to be victorious? So that you can walk around and feel happy? Is that it? That you won a battle in court, or you won a battle with a bunch of devils that are coming up against you in some town, and you see people dropping dead because the Lord did? That isn't what it's all about. Why do you want to be victorious? What purpose is it for just you, or one or two or three people, to be victorious? Or why, what purpose is there for you to be sanctified or divine? So you can walk around with the holy look on your ugly-looking face? Is that why you want to be divine or sanctified? That isn't it. You don't, listen, you want to know something? This is not about you. Or it's not about me. Amen?
Amen?
It's about Christ and the building that He lives in. Okay, why do you want to be divine or spiritual or holy? So that you can walk around acting like some kind of a spiritual being, even though you are, but you're still in the body. And you're out of order because you think of yourself as being God Himself or Christ. And you're not to be walking around like some kind of a bum either. Now we have to look at the whole building, the whole church, not you. If you've got your mind on stinky you, then you're not living the church life, are you?
No.
No. Because Christ is not in the center of you that are that way. We have to look at the whole building. We must become material. That's what we are, is material for the building of God. That's all it is. To live in. God wants to live in the whole building, not you. Or His house. Flying saucers are not little pieces of flying objects going through the air. That's all one. The flying saucers are all one. The Lord is in the middle of them, and the Christian church is all around, and they all have the same light because they all speak. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. They all are one. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord wants to do this for His house. Every piece of the building material, every stone, which our Christians must have been dealt with, and they must be placed in the body in a certain way, a certain size and shape, for the purpose of fitting the building together, as the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is the chief cornerstone of the building. In my spiritual life, I've seen many people that are fantastic. And I've received some knowledge from some people. But mostly I received it from the Spirit of the Lord and from the Bible. And I've learned a lot from people myself, strong Christians. And there's very few of them that believe in living the church life. But I heard a preacher say that the Lord asked him, there are many spiritual persons as beautiful stones, beautiful building materials, but where is the building? So you may be spiritually beautiful, but are you just one person who is a beautiful rock or stone, a little small rock or stone? Or have you been built together with others in the house of God? If you're not, well, then you've got a big problem. You're the problem. A lot of times I've met very spiritual people. But the Lord can open your eyes when you ask. Do I need some individual spiritual people? Or two or three beautiful individuals, pieces of stone? Or do I need a house to live in, is what the Lord asked him. He says, so that's what the Lord did. He opened this man's eyes. He said, do I need some individual spiritual people? One or two or three beautiful individual pieces of stone, or do I need a house to live in? When you ask that question, the Lord will open your eyes, and you will then realize that you're not really living the Christian church life. You must tell the Lord, Lord, I will be a stone that is built up with the others. And you must tell the Lord that you realize now that he needs a house, not just you. The Lord doesn't need a handful of beautiful stones, or for that matter, millions of them, because they're good to see. It's nice to see a beautiful stone. Amen. That's why so many people get jewelry. It's good to see that. But what the Lord wants today is not many beautiful stones, but a built-up house for him to live in. When Jacob was wandering in the wilderness in his dream, he saw Bethel, in other words, the house of God. Amen? That's what Bethel means. That's Genesis 28:19. At that time, Jacob was a homeless person, and God was a homeless God. He didn't have a house to live in. What the Lord needs in these last days is a home, a house, a building, a temple, a church, a body. You can have a person that has a beautiful part of their body. They have maybe, they have for sure, some people, two beautiful eyes. Is that going to do God any good? If you take, say for instance, you take those two eyes out of the person, and the eyes will look ugly. Amen?
Amen.
Beautiful eyes are nothing if you take them out of the person's body. So if you remove those eyes from the body, they are not beautiful at all anymore, because they are individually taken from the body. But what is their use or purpose outside the body? None whatsoever. Because you take them out of the body and they can't see then. They can't even see. Amen?
Amen.
In this sense, these two eyes are beautiful while in the body, yet when they are out of the body, they are very gross looking. So I've not seen a lot of Christians who are in the body. They're gross looking to me. Most Christians are gross looking, especially a lot of these preachers that are on all over the place. It's just a mess. They may think of themselves as beautiful Christians, but who are they but gross in the eyes of God? They may be spiritual in some ways, individualistic, but they've missed the whole point, the whole reason for them even having been saved. And they've been professing Christianity for many years. But it's just one building. They're just actually one building material, one portion of the body, if they ever become the body. Like you may have to you see, it takes many pieces of lumber to build a building, not just one. It takes many pieces of sheetrock to sheetrock a building. Takes many pieces or light bulbs to light it up. And that's what the Lord is looking for, is something like a building like that. Takes many nails, amen, to put a building together. And that's what it says, yeah, the building has to be fastened together with nails. Amen?
Amen.
So the whole building has to be sheetrocked. It has to be built. It has to have nails in it. It has to have all the different attributes of the building. It has to have a roof. It has to have a floor. It needs everything. Each one of us is just one stone, one piece of building material. A lively stone, if we're willing to be part of a building. With whom have you been built up? Have you been built up in just your local area with just maybe two people got together? Are you part of a clique in the church? Are you a gossiper? The Lord never called you to gossip, did he?
No.
Never called any of us to gossip. And with whom are you really related to? Huh? So I believe that most of the people that call themselves Christians today are nothing more than individual spiritual beings. The life of Christ is not just for one person or just for a few or even a few million sanctified or to be spiritual without a reason. There's a reason why God wants us to be a building. He wants us to be move like the flying saucers do. We're full of light and then we go straight on our way. And we do exactly everything that the Lord has called us to do. He has to be the one moving us. So we're not going to be victorious without a reason. We're not going to be spiritual without a reason. We're not to be, why are we going to be sanctified? There has to be a reason for all these things. Not for us to be walking around puffed up. Amen?
Amen.
There has to be a reason for us to be heavenly. He doesn't want us to be heavenly without a reason, but we've all been saved to join together as a body for the Lord's body. The Lord's body. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord can be fully realized as life to us only when we realize that we are members of the body of Christ. Do you want Christ's life? Well, he cannot be a life to us unless we're joined together for his purpose for us. If we're not going to, if I take to try to build a building and then the boards, some of the boards are warped, I throw them out because I want it to be a perfect building for me to live in. And how much more the Lord does he want a perfect building to live in? When we realize that we are members of the body of Christ and live as members of the body of Christ, we will know the fullness of Christ being life to us. We have to learn to overcome the enemy in the body. There are many problems that we are going to have in our Christian life, and when we are in the body of Christ, we will go to others, other people in the church. If you are in the body, and you will see right away that the victory is yours when you have a problem with anything, maybe doing things that you've been doing things that you didn't want to do, but you don't seem to have any power over it. Well, you go to the people in the church, if it's really a church of the Lord, and they'll help you and give you advice and spiritual uplifting. You may say that it's hard for you to be clear about the Lord's guidance. But if you will bring whatever matter it is that you have to the body of Christ, the fellowship, and fellowship with the body, you will be absolutely without a doubt about the Lord's guidance. If you desire to have a sanctified life, just bring yourself to the body, and you will see that you have been sanctified already, because you realize that you must live the church life. It is easy for you to realize the fullness of Christ, his being life to you, if you put yourself in the body of Christ. The people that isolate themselves are really not going to make it. Some people say they are the poorest of the members of the body, but they're not even members at all of the body. How can a member of a body be outside the body? Like, how could my arm be outside of my body and still be living? Or I go wherever I'm going, and the body's going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're like a member, you think of the body, and you're not part of the body, you're not going to heaven. You're not going anywhere with Christ. Okay? But the body is like a flying saucer. It's swift. It's like lightning. It's like fire. It moves so fast, because the Lord tells us what to do, and the people in the world are just dumbfounded because they're dead. They're like dead dogs, but they see the swift sword of the Lord, and they realize that, hey, this is the body of Christ moving swiftly in the earth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need to get together as a body. I'm only halfway through this message. I intend, the Lord intends for me to finish it tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. Now, to become part of the body of Christ, you must be born again. In other words, part of the body. You have to be part of the saucer. There's no way to have Christ's life unless you're part of the body. You can't have a wheel unless there's the hub inside the wheel. The Lord has to be in you and the rest of the church together. You must realize these things, because this is the most urgent message today. There's nothing great being done for the Lord in these last days unless you're living the church life, okay? So those of you that don't know the Lord, say this prayer so that you can know Him. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord, and make sure you get baptized, fully submerged in water, and that you get baptized with the compounded Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of the Lord. And I keep reading the Word because the Word is spirit and life. And I'm going to explain the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel tomorrow so that you can understand more fully the things that I'm saying in the message today. But right now, here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive this tape, tape 349.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure to tune in tomorrow to hear the fullness of this message, or as much more as the Lord will let me give you tomorrow. In the meantime, this is H.B. Barnum's Life Choir singing the Life Prayer Song.